Welcome, everybody. This is the OA Virtual Regions Convention. First day, a few hours into it. And today we have the wonderful topic on track one, the keynote track, the keynote and tools track. And today's subject right now is the tool of sponsorship. Okay, we have two wonderful speakers about to start. We're going to start with Meg. A little bit about Meg. Meg H. Meg has been in OA since October of 1989 and abstinent from sugar one day at a time since November 28, 1989. She has been maintaining a healthy body weight since then. She's around 60 pounds or 27 kilograms less than her highest weight before OA. OA saved Meg's life and her marriage. Sponsorship is a very big part of Meg's recovery. She lives in California, USA, with her husband of 40 years. And Meg, you will be speaking for 15 minutes, and then our other speaker, and then we will have question and answer after both speakers. Take it away, Meg.
Thank you, Ellen. Thank you, everybody, for your service. When I first came to OA, I cried at every meeting. So maybe that's why I'm crying now. I don't know. Anyway, I have learned a lot from my sponsors. So I'm going to share my story and share what my sponsors told me along the way. I came from a family of big eaters. We were, we always had seconds, maybe thirds. And if we were really hungry, we had fourths. And, there was my brother and my older brother and my parents at the table. And my brother was emotionally unstable. So my parents were on alert to keep him, controlled. And I sensed the tension at the table. He would talk a lot. My mother would talk some, and my dad would try to get a word in edgewise, and I just ate. And to this day, that's a big trigger for me to overeat. Makes me hungry when I sense there's tension in the room. And I'm really grateful that I don't have to overeat because of that. I was a big kid. I was teased. I was called Margaret the Target. Or Hershey Bar. I was the tallest kid in my class through grade school. And, I was just kind of solid. I was a size 12 at 12. And, I am, now a size 8. I'm really grateful that at my weight, I was a yo-yo dieter. I learned to diet from my mother, and my weight would go up and down and up and down and up and down and up more. And I'm really grateful I'm not on that roller coaster. My moods would go that way too. I would hide food. When we were kids, my parents would whisper in our ears, FHB in English. That's family, hold back. So they'd say the letters, and then we'd know to not eat everything before the guests had the chance to eat when we had company. And I learned a lot from growing up. Like if you want something done right, you have to do it yourself. And you only learn from your mistakes. So I focused on my mistakes so I'd learn. And so I was really beating myself up with my mistakes. And food was a big mistake. I learned that if I'm happy, I'm thin. And if I'm fat, I'm unhappy. And must mean that I have a boyfriend when I'm thin, and when I'm fat, I don't. So everything was associated with food and weight, and I would hide food and on and on. I would eat before I went out with other people and then eat when I got home so that I could eat kind of normally with people. Anyway, at my last diet program, I felt, you know, frantic after it, that I was right back into the food. And I found a way, I found a meeting the next day, and I was petrified of gaining the weight back again. And I did, but I was in OA and I had help. And so my weight went up and down a little bit in that month and a half before I found my abstinence of sugar. So things that I learned, I got a sponsor right away. Well, within a couple weeks, I was afraid to call her. I lost her number. When I finally did call her, she was half my age. That's one of the things I learned, that doesn't matter how old you are. You may, young people have experience that I can learn from. Old people can have experience that I can learn from, even if they're new in the program. So, and she taught me how to work the steps. I wrote my food log, you know, my whole history of food, and that helped me to be able to share my story today. I also learned that I could work the steps without being abstinent, because I couldn't get abstinent. I was petrified of, you know, I couldn't do three meals a day because that was, I was hypoglycemic and I needed to eat often to keep my blood sugar even. I couldn't do a diet because I couldn't do a food plan, a strict food plan. It was too much of a diet, it throw me back into that diet syndrome, and on and on. And she said, well, what can you do just for today? And I learned that I could do something just for today. And at that point, I had some sweet stuff on my desk. And I said, just for today, I won't have one of those. I can have them tomorrow, right? And she said, yeah. And so when I got back to my desk and they were still there, I said, wahoo, I did it. And that, I wasn't abstinent right away from that. I did eat all those things. But I woke up after my last sugar binge at my mother-in-law's at Thanksgiving, that, and I felt suicidal, and I got the message. If I wanted to live, I needed to give up sugar. And one day at a time, as I said, I've been able to do that with the help of my higher power and program, working the steps and having a sponsor. So important to have a sponsor so that I don't have to do it alone. I learned to do things just 15 minutes at a time. That was my fourth step. I was newly abstinent. I was working the fourth step, and my food was getting all squirrely. And I said in the meeting, there is something wrong here. My food's going all off the rails, and so the steps aren't helping. And somebody said after the meeting, there's freedom on this other side, keep going. And my sponsor said, well, just do it for 15 minutes a day. And I said, ooh, that's a little too much. I'm going to get into that hole and feel so awful. And she said, well, how about 5? So I did it for 5 minutes. And she said, set a timer. That was so important. And I said, well, I know 5 minutes is. And she said, no, 5 minutes, you need to know when to stop. So set the timer so you know when to stop. And that really helped. I've used that for almost any project I had, and I can't get to it. I said, okay, I'll do it for 15 minutes. And sometimes I need to set a timer so that I know when to stop. And when I did my fifth step with her, I was petrified she wouldn't want to sponsor me anymore because I did such awful things. And also, she was half my age. She wouldn't understand what I was talking about, but she related to everything. And She definitely wanted to be my sponsor after that. And so I can tell things to other people, the truth, and I can still be accepted, loved, and still want to be a friend or a sponsor. We did 6 and 7 really quickly, but they really need to be done thoroughly. I learned that later. 8 and 9 are separate steps. You know, you prepare just to make your amends before you make your amends. And there's a lot to the preparing. I learned a lot from doing that. And 9, do the easy ones first and go right on to 10. Even if you haven't finished 9, you still need to work on 9, but you need to keep things current by doing 10 and always making a 11th step prayer and meditation to keep my conscious contact with my higher power so that it's easy for me to reach my higher power. And then 12 step service. And that part of that service is being a sponsor. So my sponsor told me after I'd done the first 3 steps and I was absent for 30 days, I could be a food sponsor. And I went, what? I haven't even had a sponsor. How do I know what to do? And she said, well, just put your name down that you're available to be a food sponsor. And this is the part I love telling about how much I learned from my sponsees. I did put my name down and hope that nobody would call me. And they did. And this was a person with a lot of time in the program who knew exactly what she wanted from a food sponsor. She taught me how to be a food sponsor. And there were things like, if I'm having trouble with a step, I need to go back to the previous step. There's something I haven't finished in that step. And I learned how to listen. I learned that I can sponsor somebody that I didn't like listening to in the meetings, but she asked me to be a sponsor and I was told say yes. And so I started working with this woman and I was able to listen to her. She was the first one of my sponsees to ever go through all 12 steps. And I had started with dread and I was grateful that I was able to continue with her. And I learned a lot from her. And can't do it alone. And I learned that I can share my experience, strength, and hope and not give advice. And that helps with people, friends, and other, you know, other people who are not in OA, people in my world. And also I'm really grateful when my sponsees call because then I have to think in program terms. Gets me talking, you know, thinking and acting in program terms. I learned to write a letter I'm never going to send. That was one thing, a suggestion that was made. When I'm upset about a situation or a person, I can write a letter to them and let everything out. Call them all kinds of names and just get everything out right till there's nothing left to write. And then my anger or my disturbance is all on the paper, not inside. And I can then look at it or not. But usually after that, I can find my part in it. And then I can do something about that, not what they've done. Another thing that I learned was in a workshop to write a letter to my higher power, everything I'm disturbed about or one thing, and then take the pen in my non-dominant hand and write back, dear Meg, this is from your higher power. You are da 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 da. And I usually get a wonderful message from my higher power that I didn't even think of. Helps me to know that I can make mistakes. I'm not a mistake. And just recently, I made too many commitments for service and I talked to a friend and she said, well, check with your higher power. And my higher power said, yeah, that those are out of your wheelhouse. You need to back off. And So I did, even though I felt awful about saying yes and then having to say no. But, you know, it was time enough for them to find somebody else. So I'm really grateful that I can make mistakes and not be a mistake, that I am part of this program and all of you are too. We're no better or worse than each other. We're compulsive eaters. And by the third tradition, we just have the desire to stop eating compulsively. And I'm welcome no matter what. You are too. So thank you.
Thank you, Meg, so much. Our next speaker is Marina, and she is a compulsive overeater from Germany. For around 8 years, she has been in Overeaters Anonymous, and she says that Overeaters Anonymous has given her a life beyond her wildest dreams.
Thank you, Ellen. Hi, Marina, compulsive overeater. To qualify myself, I hope I will speak slow enough that you can translate it. I am coming from very overeating. Like when I was 20, I used to weigh around 140 kilograms. I still don't know how much stones it is. And my dream, my biggest dream was to lose all this weight, because then I will be happy. That was the deal which I had in my mind, which I thought how it will be, because when I'm thin, everything will fall into place and I will be a happy woman and any kind of relationship will be perfect and everything in my life will be great. And I made a decision to go to a clinic, and then I could reduce my weight. So I had around, when I was 25, I had around normal body weight, but I was unhappy and I didn't know about it. I was struggling a lot because in my head there was this idea of I need to lose weight the whole time, but I couldn't. And I started to binge and I was angry. I was so angry on this world the whole time because the deal didn't work out. I was thin, but I couldn't manage my food. And it was so obvious to me that everybody else could manage it, just me not. And I was very, very hopeless. So I got into the doors of OA. I never spoke with anybody about food or anything regarding this, because in between these times, I changed the place where I live. And so nobody knew, just some old friends knew how I used to look like. And nobody knew that I have to that I have been overweight. So I never talked about it. I never talked about my food, my weight, anything. And coming to OA, hearing other people speaking about what I thought, speaking about what I do, speaking about how they feel, and I could relate so much, but I was not able to talk because it was so deep down in me that I just couldn't talk. And it took me half a year to step down from my ego. And just by God's grace, I could step down because I had an accident. I broke my feet and I lied down in my bed I needed to stay at home for 6 weeks. And my plan of eating and doing exercise didn't work out anymore. So I needed something else. And after going half a year to OA, never speak to anybody or sharing or doing something, I was just listening And when I broke my feet, somebody of the group called me and asked me like, how are you? And I was just crying because my word was finished and was going to the end. I broke my feet. I couldn't do any exercise anymore. And she told me, okay, I'm going to a meeting. You want to join? And I was like, I can't go. I can't walk. How should I go to a meeting? She was like, yeah, I can pick you up with a car, so let's go. You want to join? And I joined her, and OA became a very big part of my life because suddenly my ego was so down, and I was ready to do anything because my plan didn't work out. And I looked for a sponsor because I didn't know how to do it. I was ready to accept help, because I couldn't do it by myself anymore. And this relationship began very, very quickly. I found her just because somebody told me, there are some people who have space for a sponsee. And I did everything what she told me, everything, because I wanted to get out of this hell. I didn't want anymore that food manage my life, that food is my higher power, that I'm thinking 24 hours about food. I wanted something else, and I was, I worked every day the steps, couple of hours. I had a lot of time at this moment. And, I started with a food plan. I committed my food to her every day. I worked the steps. I struggled in the beginning with calling other people because maybe I will disturb them. Maybe they're doing something else. After realizing that it's about me, calling others means getting out of my comfort zone and sharing what is really going on in my head. I was used to not sharing what is really in my head. I was used to please other people. I was used to say, everything is fine. It's not so important. Doesn't matter what's really going on in my head. And OA told me I have to be honest that I can really share what's in my head, what's really going on in my life. And I think the sponsor relationship is something very, very special because I learn how to trust. I learn that I can tell anything what I want, and she will not reject me. She will not send me away. She will not laugh. She will not ask silly questions, or she will not whatever. She will just listen. Listen and accept. And maybe she will give her personal experience or advice what she will do when I ask her. But she will not run away, and she will not tell anybody about it. It's our safe space, whatever I tell her. And this is why it's so so special for me. And I needed this because I was told by my parents, or I grew up in an environment where my parents told me, you have to be different because nobody should find out that you are. I grew up in a Jewish family, and they were very afraid of that somebody in Germany will find out that we are Jews, and they didn't want to risk that somebody hurts me or that we are receive antisemitism. And so they were afraid of it and told us not to tell anybody. So my whole life was like, you have to be somebody else to pretend you are normal and not that you are who you are. And so I get very professional in it to be somebody else and not to tell the truth. And to open this door in OA to tell who I am, what I am, without thinking what the other person are thinking about me. Just be myself and be who I am without controlling other one's head or other one's mind or their thoughts. This is definitely what OA taught me. And how does our relationship with my sponsor look like? So in the beginning, I sent her a food plan and I tried to do everything what she told me. And we had some of discussions when, for example, I came out of work and I was not desperate, but I was really exhausted and I wanted to chill, to relax. But I was also angry because work was very stressful. And the advice of my sponsor was, you have stress? Interesting. Call a newcomer. And I was like, how dare? Didn't you hear me? I have so much stress. I don't want to talk with anybody. And nowadays, a couple of years later or 8 years later, I understand how important it is to have the connection to newcomers, to reach out, to speak to other fellows, to have an OA community where I can always find the connection, because this is how my higher power speaks to me, through people, especially through OA people. And on this conventions, it doesn't matter on which convention, of course, OA convention I am, after one or, I guess, on the second day, I start to cry because it goes so deep. It is the language of my heart. This is OA talk for me. And by hearing the voice of my sponsor, we just met maybe, I don't know, 4 or 5 times in this 8 years. But hearing her voice, this is love for me. And I really feel this, that everything is fine. And yeah, now we are calling, or I call her like once a week. And I work the steps second time, and it's a lifetime program. It's not over just by going through the step once. It will continue for my lifetime. Of course, I'm just doing this for today, but I really hope that I will do this by the end of my life, because this is what fuels me with love. This is what I'm really looking for. The food never gave me such feeling. It was just, it was just to cover, to numb myself or to cover my feelings. But it never gave me this warm, huggy feeling, which I really, which I'm really looking for, actually, which gives me the serenity in my life to accept the things how they are. And I have also a sponsee. I had different sponsees, several sponsees. And I think the sentence that I receive more through our work than she receives through our work, it is definitely true. I really, it's not just learning, it's just watching her recovery, and always what I tell her is what I need to hear. And I remember when my sponsor told me, like, okay, now you're ready, you can sponsor, I was like, why? Like, it's so much easier when the sponsee calls my sponsor and she can sponsor her. So she knows everything. So why do they need me? But it's my recovery. It's my life. And it makes fun. It makes really fun. And it's so, it's a lot of inspiration by working with others. Doesn't matter if it's a newcomer, if it's a sponsee or a fellow, it's always an inspiration to hear OA fellows. And so my advice to everybody who is not ready yet, keep coming back. And I do the same. It's not over. It's never finished because I'm a real overeater and I know what it means to overeat, to do all the things with food, and I deserve my place here. And I'm so deeply grateful to find these rooms. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Marina and Meg. And now we're going to bring them back up for the question and answer session. I have one question ready for you, Marina and Meg. A newcomer would like to know. She says, I have a lot of commitments, a lot of things on my plate. Why can't I just sponsor myself through the big book? Do I really need to spend all that extra time with having a sponsor? Who would like to take that first?
I can go. Okay. Wonderful question. Yes, of course you can do it by yourself. But it is so much easier to get support from somebody who did all the work. You have always the opportunity to ask questions, and because sometimes it's not obvious what the big book is telling you. And sometimes it is, you have your specific situation. And sometimes there's also, it's this special connection. Don't miss this opportunity to have this in your life, to experience such a connection with a sponsor. It's a very special one. And it's just pure. And also to sponsor somebody, it's an experience, it's a lifetime experience. You will, or I haven't find it somewhere else.
And I can add to that. This problem of overeating is an isolating disease. We eat in private. We hide it as much as we can, and it keeps us from, I don't know, I ate to numb my feelings, and then I wasn't sharing with anybody who I really was. And having somebody that I can tell everything to. When I gave my fifth step away to my sponsor, it was the first time I told everything to one person. And that, that feeling of being accepted as a human being, as a person, as a sponsee, as a woman, as a compulsive eater, as a person with a disease who has a solution offered, is just such a wonderful gift, and that I don't have to do it alone. I learned from my dad, you know, if you want something right, you got to do it yourself. And that's not true anymore, or it doesn't count unless you do it all yourself. That's not true. I learned that by working with others and working with my sponsor, and that I can't do it all alone. It's a wonderful tool of this program. And you can hire and fire a sponsor at will, you know, so it's not like you're making a lifetime commitment. to one person and that's it. You can try any sponsor you want, anybody, and find one that works for you. And this is a wonderful support system. It's not a dictator system. You do it this way and that, or you're out. It's a support system. Help you to find your way. And yes, the big mm-hmm. book has wonderful, wonderful stuff in it, but like Marina said, how it applies to me is really hard to decipher sometimes. And it's nice to have somebody else who knows you who can help you decipher it or any of the literature. Thanks.
Thank you. I'm going to combine a few questions because there are a number of people who are asking how you sponsor, how they can sponsor in certain situations. Like, for instance, one person says, my sponsee does not send her food plan every day. Is she still abstinent and what should I do about it? Another wants to know, how do I keep my sponsees to keep coming back instead of quitting when they don't see change or progress? So can you speak a little to how you sponsor when it's not always a clear-cut, easy thing? How do you do that? Who wants to go first? Marina?
Yes, I can go first. Thank you. Wonderful question. I have the same sponsee. She is not always abstinent. What should I do about it? I can't do anything about it. It's her higher power. I'm not in control of her. I'm not in control of her food or of her abstinence. It's her higher power. I can just talk about myself. I can just talk about my experience and I can just talk what helps me to get abstinent. If she's doing the same thing what I did, not up to me. And this is what I tell the sponsor, keep coming back until you reach your final point where you are ready to go to any length. And what I do is asking her, and I do it for me the same, because sometimes I need a very close program. Sometimes I need to stay the whole weekend in meetings to get the message. Sometimes my life is so busy that, or some other things happen, that I can go just one in the whole week, just once in a meeting, or do just one outreach call. So is she working the steps or the program properly? There's a reason why there are tools, and then there's a reason why there are steps. Does she work the steps, or does she just write the food plan? So does she do all the things which OA offers to get abstinent?
Let's see. How I sponsor is I usually talk with a sponsee and find out what they want from a sponsor, and I say whether or not I'm willing to do it. I mean, I had somebody ask me to be in contact every day, and I said no, I couldn't do that. And so she went and found another sponsor. I heard earlier today, I heard in the meeting that a woman who sponsors, and she said, I had a lot of sponsees and not one did the program just like I do it. They all do it differently. And their, my sponsee's recovery is their recovery. And like Marina said, I can't make them do it. I'm not responsible for them doing it. I can't change them. Their recovery is the way they do it. And some people have to struggle. And sometimes, for me, I need to send my food in every night. And I've been doing that for years and years and years to the same food sponsor. We co-sponsor, and she sends me hers. But that's been going on for years, and I feel like, okay, I've let go of today's food by sending it in to her. Other people don't need to do that. And I'm so grateful that my sponsor said I didn't have to be abstinent before I could work the steps. So if they're maybe they are abstinent. They're just not sending in their food, or maybe they are sending in their food and they really aren't abstinent. You don't know. But you just offer your experience and strength and hope, and hope that that's what they need. And I've had many sponsees just sort of fade away, and I would call them or text them or email them and say, "Are you okay? And you still want to still want me to be your sponsor?" And sometimes I get an answer, sometimes I don't, and if they fade away, that's how it goes. And right now I have 5 sponsees, and I've had them for a while, and they've stuck to it. I don't know why, but stuck with me, and I'm just grateful for all of them. So it's a we program. We do it together, but not all do it the same.
Thank you. Kind of related to that, someone wants to know, what do you do if it's not working out as a sponsor? Do you fire a sponsee? I'm having a hard time looking for someone who shares my common interests and common nature of my disease. How do you break up?
So my sponsor told me not to reject anybody, because that the sponsor don't have to go through this experience. And I try not to do this. I try to lead them, because for me, I have, of course, I would like to have a successful sponsee, but this is my ego. And my higher power wants me to give what I freely have become. So I have to talk what is good for the sponsee, you know, what she should receive. And normally the sponsee recognizes that it's not working out, or ask her, sometimes maybe this helps, is this working? Is the sponsorship works for you? Does you receive what you think you should receive? Like, are you abstinent? Or like, I think in most of the cases, the other people should recognize that it's not working out. Or maybe your higher power wants to learn you to set boundaries. I don't know.
Yeah, I agree with Marina that it's good not to reject the sponsee, but I usually say something. It seems like this is not working for you. Can we do something different, or do you need to find somebody else? You know, I'm not the only sponsor in the world. and yeah, I mean, I did set a boundary with one of my sponsees who was calling me all different kinds of times a day, night, and I would, you know, I'd answer if I was free, but then I said, how about if we set up a regular time, like once a week, this time, this day, and so that at least that time we get to speak. And it worked for a while, and then it didn't work. She couldn't keep the time, so we went back to her calling when she could and asking if I was available or asking for times, and that worked. But it's a two-way street. It's, you know, find what works for – I find out what works for me and what works for the other person. Yeah.
Thank you. A newcomer wants to know, how exactly, specifically, do you work the steps with the sponsee? How do you guide a newcomer? Do you give them assignments? Do you have requirements? How do you work with a brand new person in the way? Steps.
Yeah. For me, one of the most important things, I can just give what I received. So I work the steps the same way as my sponsor, works them with me. And I have a pamphlet, or I work it as somebody from Los Angeles group works through the steps, and there are podcasts, there are videos, there are assignments, and he recommends to read the book every day, and so specific abstracts in the book, in the 12 steps, and in the 12 steps and the 12 traditions, and also in the big book. And then we go through the assignments, and there are and read the big book together. And besides this, I tell every sponsee to use the tools. There's a reason for them. But the recovery is not in the tools. The recovery is in the steps. So it will never be enough for me and the form of my disease just to work the tools. I need more. I need a spiritual miracle and a spiritual experience. And I can only receive this by working the steps. Just working the tools will not be enough.
Let's see how I work with sponsees. I too kind of do it the way my sponsor did, but at the time when I started, we only had the big book and the AA 12 and 12. And shortly after I'd been in for, I think it was only a couple of years, the OA 12 steps came out, and I really loved how it really spoke to my disease and spoke my language. I didn't have to translate what the big book said. So I usually work with the OA 12 and 12. I have my sponsee write out their history with food. If they want, we can go use the OA 12 step workbook and go through the questions and our answers, and I can, you know, go with that and give my feedback on that. Or I might give an assignment and say, well, read this in the big book, or read this in the OA 12 and 12, or read this in one of the OA books like on abstinence or spiritual recovery. So I agree that I'm a hard case. I have three co-sponsors. I have five sponsees, and I need them all. I go to, you know, a meeting, about five meetings a week, and I do a lot of service. Service is really, I encourage my sponsees to do service. It helps you to feel part of. I mean, it was the first time I really felt part of something in, you know, not faking it. I really felt part of when I started to do service. Little things, just do a little thing, you know, do a reading in a meeting, or if we were meeting in person, help set up the chairs. So, I encourage people to use the tools, but yes, the recovery is in the steps, and we really need to work the steps.
In the 1 minute we have left, the frequently asked question from a newcomer: how do I get a sponsor?
Go to a meeting, listen to the people who shared, and where you feel attraction or where do you feel connection, go to this person and ask, how does she get her recovery? How does she receive what she has? How can you get there where she is? This is how OA works for me, about attraction, not promotion.
Okay, just go to meetings, and if you like what somebody says, like they said, ask them how they do it, and you can ask them to be your sponsor or not, and just talk to people. And if you're having trouble, you can maybe find a temporary sponsor. So there's always of doing this. Okay, I'm going to answer what does co-sponsor mean. I first started being a co-sponsor with a food sponsor. We were both long time in the program, and she was looking for a sponsor, and I said, well, how about, and we said, well, how about if we co-sponsor? And that meant that I sent her my food, and she sends me her food, and we let go, and we share, you know, what happened during the day, or we give feedback to each other. So it's back and forth. So it means that we're kind of on equal terms, giving and taking. So I have a co-sponsor for the steps. I have a co-sponsor for service. I have a co-sponsor for food.
All right. What's our next question?
Hello. I know it's my responsibility to reach out and do the work and keep the relationship with my sponsor. However, in the past with sponsors, I felt their lack of reaching out to me strange. Is that not OA culture to check in on your sponsees? Even though my sponsor was giving me work to do there, felt like a lack of structure. You know, it's also part for me of sponsoring, that the sponsee should call me and the sponsee should reach out. But of course, if I recognize that it is very hard for her to call me, then I would also, or when I recognize something is wrong, then I will send a message or ask her how she's doing, if everything is okay. But for me, normally it works that way. So the sponsee calls the sponsor. This is how I was sponsored. And this is the only thing how I know what works. So this is how I give it further.
Yeah, I would say ditto. I've had sponsees that sort of try to fade away and they come back. And then I would check in on them to make sure whether or not they still want to be a sponsee, but it is a sponsee's program. It's her recovery that we are working on together for. So it's her responsibility, he or she, to reach out and share what's going on with them. And it just seems to be the way the sponsee sponsor works. I know that if I'm the one who's asking for help, then it helps me to ask for help.
Let's do one more round of questions.
Okay, one of my sponsors is very inconsistent. She makes commitments and keeps them from a few days and then gradually stops. Then comes back very contrite, promising to carry through. She wants me to tell her what to do. How do you suggest handling this? Actually, my question is, are you ready to go to any length? And if she's ready to do this, then we can continue. But then they sometimes realize by themselves they are not ready, because the program is hard. It's easy, but it's hard. You have to go through all this, which you tried to avoid before. You have to go through all those feelings, which you didn't want to feel before. And it's hard. When it would be very easy for me, I could do it by myself without the SOA program, but I can't. And I don't want to today, because I see the benefit, advantage, and the profit for my life to be in OA. It's wonderful to be here, that I can be here. So, and also it's, I think this question brings most of the people try to think, what do I really want to do and what do I really ready to do? Megan.
Yeah. she wants to tell her what to do, well, do what she can. And if she's not willing to do what you suggest, ask her what she wants to do. And it's also important for me to set boundaries in terms of, if she, wants to make an appointment with me and it's important to keep it. And if she doesn't want to do it that way, then she just calls me when she can and leave it at that rather than setting a specific time that she can't keep. Finding what works for her.
That's great. Thank you both so much.